right, here's the thing, okay? Some of you thought that was like cute and funny. And then some of you thought that was like silly and stupid, right? Okay? So if you thought that was silly or funny, you're free to go. You don't need to hear this message, all right? But those of you that thought that was just a little bit weird, you need to hang around because I want to talk to you about patience. You know, we're not very patient, are we? I mean, let's just face it. As a matter of fact, a lot of times we talk about patience. I mean, it really became true to me not too long ago. I was driving, need gasoline. I stopped at Sheetz to get gas. And has this ever happened to you? Stopped at Sheetz to get gas. I put the nozzle in my gas tank in the car and turned it on. And then I looked away, and then I looked, and it had like, you know, 1 gallon in, and I thought it was almost finished. Have you ever noticed this, that sometimes the pumps are slower than others? It actually dispenses it at different speeds. I don't know if it's according to like how full the tanks are or what, but occasionally you go and they're like really slow. And on this particular day, they were really slow, and after about $3.71 of gas, I turned it off, put the pump up, and thought, I'll do it later. Okay? That was when God said to me, John, get somebody else to preach at First Church on the day you talk about patience. All right? You need to be in the audience listening rather than up front. So I just want to tell you right up front that I've prepared this message in relation to hopefully God teaching me. And as he teaches me, maybe you will get it too. You ever notice that when we talk about patience, most of the time we talk about it in the negative. We talk about being impatient. That's very different than any of the other virtues that we've talked about. You know, we don't talk about unlove, right? We talk about love and joy and peace, kindness, goodness, gentleness, faithfulness, self-control. I missed one, probably. But when we talk about patience, a lot of times it's in the negative. We don't talk about how we are patient or how we want to be patient or how we should be patient. We use these negative kind of illustrations about how we are impatient. Joyce Meyer was the one that said, and I love this quote, she said, patience is not the ability to wait, but how you act while you're waiting. You see, that was the whole point of that little thing there at the beginning. Some of you, it comes up, you're thinking, oh my goodness, that's so cute. That is cute. Pastor John's just cute. Did anybody think? No, nobody thought that. But most of us thought that's just silly. Why is he doing that? Where is he? He's got to be here somewhere, right? We do this when we get on the phone. We call somebody and we have to go through a phone tree. And then when we get through the end of the phone tree, they say, you've actually called the wrong number. Please hang up and dial 1-800, right? Has that ever happened to you? And I'm like, oh my goodness. How many of you have you ever hung up waiting on hold? We all do it. Why? Because we're impatient. But patience is really what goes on inside of us while we're waiting. Let me show you a picture that'll show you the greatest illustration of our culture today and how we need to work on this idea of being patient. Right? I mean, can you imagine seeing a horse-drawn wagon or maybe an Amish buggy at a drive-thru? Do you know that drive-thrus were developed because we're impatient people, right? I mean, heaven forbid that we would have to park and go in and order our coffee and go back out to the car, right? As a matter of fact, a lot of things in our life, they're like that. I mean, think about this. The microwave oven. Right? Basically developed by a very impatient person. You know how you know that? I mean, can anybody here honestly say that something cooked or heated in a microwave tastes better than cooked or heated on a stove in the conventional way? Right? I mean, have you ever eaten a piece of pizza heated up in the microwave? Oh my goodness. Right? It's just for us impatient people because, you know, I can't wait for the oven to preheat to 375 and then take 12 whole minutes to put something in there and let it cook or heat up. I need something right now. A lot of things in our life were developed because we are impatient people. Traffic. deadlines, annoying people, standing in line, being put on hold, irritating people. I mean, watching a file download on your computer. Oh my goodness. Right? I mean, we are impatient people. You know, being told that a check's in the mail again and again. Frustrating people, bad ideas, that person beside you on the interstate. I mean, it's incredible. Matter of fact, just yesterday I had this happen to me on the interstate. I was on my way home. I was coming back from the Johnson Bible College preaching rally and homecoming, and I came back through Kentucky so that I could see Kristen, our daughter, and her husband, and I was coming up the interstate, and I came up upon this van in front of me. In the back of the van, it had this huge sign that said "Wide Load," right? And they had a flashing light on top, and had this thing sticking up in the air to make sure that it could get under the overpasses, which I thought was peculiar because this particular vehicle was following the truck. But anyway, there must have been one on up in front too. But as I pulled up behind him, he was going kind of slow, so I pulled out and I was going to pass him. And he pulled over in front of me in the middle of the highway, and I understood, okay, he doesn't want to pass. And I looked, and there's this giant truck up in front, and had this huge load on the back of it, and he was in the middle of the highway. So I got in the right-hand lane, and I was just, I was trying to be patient, right? And this other car pulled up beside me, and as he pulled up beside me, the van pulled over in front of him as if to say, no, not you either. And then he got in the middle of the lane, and we both were following him. And then all of a sudden, this pickup truck come racing up on the shoulder, and this van literally jerked over onto the shoulder and got in front of this guy, and he, like, threw on his brakes. And like I'm in between these people and I'm thinking, oh my goodness, right? You know, for a split second, I thought, ooh, I've got an opening, I could go. But I didn't do that. I stood back and in about a half a mile or so, the truck started exiting the interstate. I thought, oh, that's it, okay. He just didn't want us to cause a problem as he was exiting. And he got off. And then the van that we were following got off. And the truck that was still on the shoulder cut me off and like veered over and almost hit me and just sped up really fast by these people. And, I got on the gas and I went after him. No, I didn't do that. I didn't. I just kind of backed up, right? Right? I mean, isn't it amazing how easily we get bent all out of shape about things that happen like that? I mean, have you ever said, "You're trying my patience"? Have you said that this morning to anybody? Or, "My patience is wearing thin," or, "I'm just about out of patience." See, we all need this in greater and increasing quantities. The key idea is really key this morning. It says, "I am slow to anger and endure patiently under the unavoidable pressures of life." Let's say that together. Would you join me? I am slow to anger and endure patiently under the unavoidable pressures of life. Randy Frazee actually wrote that in our Believe series, and he kind of explains where that came from, and I thought it was something that you guys need to hear about today. This idea of patience, it comes from two different places in the New Testament, from two different Greek words. The first one is macrothymia. Okay, it's a compound word, macro and thymia. Macro meaning long, and thymia meaning anger. In other words, the root of patience in the New Testament is this idea of being long to anger. Okay, of it taking you a long time to boil over. Some of the older translations use the word long suffering. Okay, that's what it means. It means that you don't fly off the handle, that you don't react out of anger. Now the other one is hypomone, and it is a compound word as well. Hypo meaning under, and mone meaning to remain. It's the word most often translated perseverance in the New Testament. perseverance. So this is kind of the root and the history of this idea to be patient, to be long suffering, to persevere. That you are long to anger. That it takes a long time for you to boil over, or that you are persevering. You can remain under. You can persevere. Matter of fact, you know one of the biggest things that will try your patience? Anybody here having kids? Right? I heard about a guy not long ago, and he was talking about his kids. He's bragging on his 7-year-old son because his 7-year-old son came up to him and said, "Dad, when I grow up, I want to be a doctor." And he said he was so proud of his son that at 7 years old, he had these career ambitions. And, you know, he was thinking, wow, he'll just be great and it'll be awesome. You know, his little son came up and said, "Dad, when I grow up, I want to be a doctor." And then he said, his very next sentence was, "Or a dinosaur." Kids, right? Right? Don't they do that? Don't one minute you go from like, "Man, I am so glad they're mine." Or the next minute it's like, "Whose kid is this anyway? Anybody lose a kid?" Right? Right? I mean, that's the way kids are. Just Friday, I actually got to go to our youngest daughter, Kristen. She teaches second grade at Cardinal Valley Elementary School in Lexington, Kentucky. She's an ESL teacher, and I got to go to her school and meet her class. And her husband, Nathan, was along with me, and we went into the class, and Sarah said, "Hey, kids, this is my dad. He came to visit you guys today." And the little boy said, "Who is that?" Talking about Nathan. And Kristen said, "And this is my husband, Nathan." And this little boy, and his name happened to be Jimmy, I think, he growled at Nathan. You know, I remember, I kind of understood, because I remember, you know, when I was in second grade, I would love to have had a second grade teacher that looked like Kristen, right? And she actually told me that this little boy and another friend had asked her one day when they were waiting on the bus, said, "Miss Shedd," and I can't get used to her being called that, said, "Miss Shedd, are you married?" And she said, "Yes, I'm married." And the little boy was like mad about it, okay? Making his parents proud, right? Right? I said, "Well, honey, that's okay when they're in second grade. I hope he's still not doing that when he's 14. All right? Right? Kids, they do that. Matter of fact, it made me start to think about how Kristen, that same ESL teacher in second grade that was proud to introduce me to her students, how, you know, years ago, I remember it all culminated on an afternoon on our couch in the living room when she and I were screaming at each other. She's a senior in high school. She's not sure, you know, what her life's going to end up doing. But all she knew is that she wanted to go as far away from her mom and dad as she could. You know, she said at one time, I'm going to the University of Alaska for college. You know, she just wanted to get far away from us. And I remember in this particular time, I was screaming at her and she was screaming at me. And all of a sudden I realized, John, you need patience with this kid. And this kid needs patience with you. So the idea here, folks, is to understand what God is calling us to do and be when he says for us to be patient. The key verse today comes from Proverbs chapter 14, verse 29. Look at what it says. It says, "Whoever is patient has great understanding, but who is quick-tempered displays folly." You know what a literal translation of that would be in our present day language today? If you're not patient, you're stupid. Right? I mean, isn't that what he's saying? That if you're not exercising patience, if you're not growing in patience, then you're exercising folly. You're exercising stupidity. Your choices are not as good as God would want them to be. I love Ephesians chapter 2, a matter of fact. In Ephesians chapter 4, in verse 2, here's the word. He says, "Be patient." You know, in other words, in those unavoidable situations where you might be able to react out of anger, where the pressure builds up, you have a choice to make. You can remain under pressure or you can explode. You see, the bottom line is while we may choose the quickest root there and just to explode. There is a better way. And I think here, folks, he gives us this better way. So when you look at this verse, and this is a quote out of Ephesians 2, be patient. It's a command. It's not an option. It's a command. Commands are not optional. Commands are not something that you can choose or not choose, that you can say yes or you can say no to. Patience is a command of God to his children, that we are to be patient. Now, here's the thing. I want to teach you something here, and I want you to think about before and after and inside and out. Okay? In other words, before and after. The phrase before this particular be patient admonition and command, he says be completely humble and gentle. Now get that, folks, because what he's saying here is that these are prerequisites to patience, humility, and gentleness. If you're not humble, if you're not gentle, you won't be patient. You don't have a chance to be patient without humility and without gentleness. So in other words, the before here is he's explaining to you what it takes to be patient. And then when you are patient, he gives us the after. And the after here is really, really cool because he says that bearing with one another in love. You see, the command is be patient. And we can be patient if we're humble, if we're gentle. And then he almost gives us a definition of what that patience looks like when he says bearing with one another in love. You see, that's patient. So here's the thing, folks. You just need to examine your life. Think about this. If you are put in a situation that is pressure-packed, do you act or react easier now, better now? I mean, if 5 years ago, if you would explode in this situation, whatever that situation might be, do you react or act differently now than you did 5 years ago, than you did 1 year ago? I mean, some of you would say, you know, no, this is something I've always struggled with. I'm not a patient person. I speak my mind. It's amazing how we use other words to describe it. You know, I'm not impatient. I just speak my mind. You know, I'm not impatient. I just tell the truth. You know, I'm not impatient. These people are just unbearable, right? We say all these things. When in reality, what it's describing is who we are and how we react to the pressure situation in life. Are you reacting better, more godly today than you did last year or 5 years ago or 10 years ago? If your answer is yes, then good, you're growing in this virtue of patience. But if you're still acting or reacting, if you're still flying off the handle, you know, if you're still blowing up, then you need to work on this some more. You know, it's amazing when you think about this and what God wants to teach us in this particular passage of Scripture. Because when he uses the word here for patience, he's talking about that macrothymia. He's talking about that ability to be the kind of person that God wants you to be under pressure, that long to anger, that long fuse. You know, think about that. Just there's a situation, there's an irritating situation, and somebody sticks a spiritual thermometer in your mouth to monitor your temperature and how long it takes to rise. Is it better now, or do you still have that fever that you had some years ago? See, the old translations of long-suffering, this merger of these two beautiful words to convey one thought, that it takes me a long time, hopefully never, to build up and to explode in that way. Or this idea of perseverance, this picture of this pressure and how it's growing and how God wants us to react. You see, the command is always the same, be patient. And here's the really cool thing, folks. God will help. God provides help. You see, we struggle with this because it's an issue of the flesh and the spirit. And we understand that it's the flesh responding with impatience and anger and all these things. But we understand that by the Spirit, that if God is living in us and working in us, that we will respond as He responds. God provides help. But it's this idea of which one is going to win this battle. Is it going to be the flesh? Or is it going to be the Spirit? You see, I don't know about you, but a lot of times in my own life, when we talk about patience, I feel a necessity to joke about it. You know, to almost make my impatience, or you to make your impatience a joke, because if we didn't joke about it, if we didn't laugh about it, we'll have to recognize and realize how serious it is. But God will provide help. Yeah, now think about it. How does He provide help? Randy Frazee, in his book that we've been studying some, this is a list from him, and I love it. He said God provides help, first of all, by example. I mean, if you want to know about patience, just think about how God has been patient with you. Right? I mean, there's none of us deserve the goodness of God. We don't deserve the forgiveness of God. We don't deserve the love of God. We don't deserve heaven. We deserve hell. But yet God, in His supreme love, loves us anyway. Paul says it this way to the Romans, that while we were still sinners, in other words, that even though God recognized that we were still fleshly, sinful people, God sent His Son to die for us, even though that was true. I mean, if you want to know how God helps us, just recognize and embrace this idea that God is the greatest example of patience. There's even a passage in the Bible that talks about that the second coming, that the judgment of God has not come yet. You know why? Because of God's patience. Because of His desire to give us every chance to get it right, to make it right, to come to know Him as Lord and Savior. You don't need to lurk any further than to understand. If you question whether or not God can help you with this idea of being a patient person, He helps us by His example. He also helps us by empowerment. I mean, think about it. God's long-suffering in dealing with us provides this beautiful model of how we should respond to others in difficult situations because of how He responded to us. But God's Spirit also gives us strength to see life through His eyes and not just view the urgency of this issue, not to just think about ourselves. See, here's the thing. Almost all impatience is rooted in a lack of trust or a lack of respect. Think about it. When you are impatient, when I am impatient, what it really shows is that it shows our lack of trust and it shows our lack of respect for other people around us. But we have to know that God can empower us through His perspective. He can share with us. He can help us to see the bigger picture. And then finally, thirdly, He helps us by encouragement. The Scriptures are filled with inspirational and motivating words to slow us down and to help us wait on God, to wait on His timing, to wait on His provision, to trust Him, to handle our situation, to help us not only in life, but to give us this beautiful thing at the end of life. So think about that, folks. Every scenario that we have in life, almost everything that we've ever invented is about our lack of patience. But yet God wants to give us a different way. And today we have to choose that way. And even though you find yourself, I find myself more and more frustrated because we have to wait, 5 minutes to get what we want. Just a few years ago, folks, think about it. Just a few years ago, it was different. It was worse. And we think that all these things that we invent, all these things that we make will help us to be more patient. But it doesn't. I went to the grocery store the other night. A bunch of lanes were open. And I found myself that I was in four different lanes before I finally settled on one. Have you ever done this? Right? You get in a lane and you think, okay, this is probably the quickest one. Oh my goodness, that one's got to, you go over there. And then you realize the one that you left, the person that was behind you, is now checking out. Has that ever happened? And then it's like you get frustrated over there and you go to a different one. You know? We're impatient people. But folks, with God's help, understanding His example, believing in His empowerment, appreciating His encouragement, we can become patient. You know, I was talking to you about Kristen. I want to finish that story about patience. I screamed at her and she screamed at me on that particular afternoon. And I left that encounter, or we left that encounter, and I understood that she needed to give me a break and be patient with me, and I understood that I needed to give her a break and be patient with her. But just this past Friday, I went to her house and visited for a little while and took her out to dinner, and I went by her school. I told you that. Let me tell you the rest of the story. I walked into the office of that school. Nathan, her husband, was with me. And there was a lady behind the desk, and she said, "May I help you?" And I said, "Yes, we're here to see Mrs. Shedd." And this lady looked up and she said, "Are you Kristen's dad? I heard that you were coming." And she came around and she gave me this big hug and she shook my hand and I introduced myself to her and, you know, and Nathan. And she was like, "Oh, we just love Kristen, and she is so excited to have you here today. She's told everybody that her dad's coming." So that's great. And she took us down the hallway, and as we were walking down the hallway, this other gentleman was coming down the hallway, and he saw us with this person, and he's like, is this Kristen's dad?" I guess he saw us going into her room. And so I stopped and introduced myself to him. And he was one of the special ed teachers. And he said, "Oh my goodness, Kristen is wonderful. We just love Kristen. She is so excited about having you here today." And we went in her room. We had that little encounter with Jimmy and the kids. And she took me down and she introduced me to the other ESL teacher. She's an ESL teacher for second grade. And introduced me to the other teachers. And it was always the same. "Oh my goodness, you're Krista's dad. She told us you were coming. We're so glad that you were here. We just love her." And after I had this from everybody in the school, everybody from the teachers to the administrators and everybody, we went home and I got in bed. And I said, "Lord, I didn't know if this day would ever come. 10 years ago, I thought that. I didn't know if that day would ever come. You know what I said? I'm going to Alaska. I didn't know that day would ever come." And you know what? It wouldn't have come if she hadn't been patient with me. And if I, in turn, hadn't been patient with her, that day might have never come. But I believe with all my heart that day came because of patience and because of God. So if you will just allow Him to help you be patient. Listen, folks, waiting on God will provide you with the very best finish that you can have in life. I mean, if He can help you to see your circumstances for what they are, and if He can turn your situation around and help you to see your family and your friends and your neighbors, not from their frustration that they bring to your life, but for His love for them and your appreciation of that love. Someone once said that patience is a spiritual muscle that grows stronger as we quietly wait on God to answer. This is the way the writer of Ecclesiastes sums it up. Quote, "The end of the matter is better than its beginning, and patience is always better than pride." Let's pray. Father in heaven, God, you have been so patient with us. And Lord, help us to in turn be patient with others, to be patient with ourselves, to know, Lord, that patience is a virtue, that if we allow it to grow and to mature in our lives, that our life would not only be better, but certainly, Lord, those people around us, their life will be better as well. Because when we are patient, Lord, we can grow in our appreciation for you and our love for each other. But Lord, when we're not patient, when we're not slow to anger, when we don't practice perseverance, when we don't obey the command to be patient, when we don't realize, Lord, that the key to that is humility and gentleness, that bearing with one another in love is what helps it to grow. That God, when we don't do that, then patience or impatience just becomes a punchline of our lives in a humorous description of trying to describe who we are and why we are this person. So God, help us to desire more. Help us to desire to be a patient person with everyone and in everything. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.